Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You vaguely know that this is the theme song from The Bridge on the River Kwai. And the only reason I'm playing it is to remind you of Bridgegate and the porcine Jersey demagogue known as Chris Christie. Because just when we thought it could not get worse, just when we thought the Republicans couldn't move further to the left than they already have, just when we thought they couldn't find less experienced, less qualified people, they did. And today, Chris Christie gave us a wake-up call as to how foul the Republican brand has become when he proposed cuts in Social Security. Now, this is a speech you're going to hear on this show. You haven't heard it anywhere else. You'll hear it again. At a speech on Tuesday, that's today, he said that Social Security should have means testing, and that would reduce the size of benefits for people earning more than $80,000 a year, and cut off all Social Security payments for those making $200,000 or more. And so then he went on. The porcine Jersey demagogue goes on and says this, right out of the Soviet playbook. He says, "Do we really believe that the wealthiest Americans need to take from younger, hardworking Americans to receive what for most of them is a modest monthly Social Security check?" said Chris Christie. And he went on. He got even further on it. And he will play the speech, because it's hard to believe this is coming out of the mouth of a so-called Republican. This rhetoric that you're about to hear from the porcine Jersey demagogue, Chris Christie, who was an embarrassment. When he first appeared on the scene, we all cheered him. We thought he was the real McCoy. We thought he was the tough-talking, blunt American conservative that was going to save us from the Marxist in the White House. But we wake up and find out he's actually moving to the left of de Blasio. "You see, what's in the air is nothing but overt communism. To each according to his means." Did you ever hear that one? "From each according to his means, to each according to their needs." Right out of Marxism. It's the rhetoric of Hillary Clinton. It's the rhetoric of de Blasio. It's the rhetoric of the Pope. It's the rhetoric of Obama. And now, of course, it's the rhetoric of Chris Christie, the porcine Jersey demagogue. So without further introduction, we're going to play for you a speech that could have been written for Joseph Stalin, but it came instead from a man who really needs a bridge too far. Let's listen.
"We should remember that Social Security at its core should be retirement insurance. I'm suggesting that Americans pay into this system throughout the course of their life, knowing that it will be there if they need it to support them in their later years, so seniors will not grow old in backbreaking poverty. But if you're fortunate enough not to need it, you will have paid into a system that will continue to help Americans, neighbors, friends who need it the most. See, I think that's what we've always done for each other, both through private charity and through good government.
You moron,
it's
you.
It's fair, and it's what we must continue
to
do.
Fair, you,
but we can only do that by changing Social Security. So let's ask ourselves an honest question. Do we really believe that the wealthiest Americans need to take from younger, hardworking Americans to receive what for most of them is a modest monthly Social Security check?
You filthy thief.
I say no, and I propose a modest means test that only affects those with non-Social Security income of over $80,000 a year, and phases out Social Security payments entirely for those that have $200,000 a year in retirement income. Think about how much money you have to have $200,000 in retirement income.
Okay, let's stop it right here. The argument is not only insulting, it's criminal, but it's wrong. Idiot Christie should know that we pay income taxes on our Social Security income. Did you know that? Do you know that the federal law has forced me to start taking Social Security even though I didn't want it? I didn't want to take it. Did you know that the government has forced me to accept Medicare at a certain age, or I would have retained private insurance? Did you know that I pay a fortune in Medicare Part A and Supplemental Part B? Did you know that I pay a fortune for prescription drug programs that are forced upon me by this criminal Soviet government of ours? And now along comes Christie, proposing that they take away your Social Security that you put into the system your entire life. Listen to what I just said to you. I've been working since I'm a kid. I look back on my Social Security record, and I see that I was putting money in since I'm, I don't know how old, 15, 16, 17, I don't know how old. And I collect a Social Security check in addition to the money I make in radio and writing and other ways. It's my money, though. And if I want to give it away, I give it away. It's not for this porcine demagogue from Jersey to tell me I owe it to my neighbor. This is the same argument that was used by Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin in the Soviet Union while trying to stir up the masses to cause the Bolshevik Revolution. But it doesn't end with stealing my Social Security, does it? The next step is this. If you have more than $100,000 in the bank, is it fair for you to have $100,000 in the bank when a poor junkie living in the Bronx needs those needles at needle exchange? Is it fair for you to have $100,000 in the bank of your money? You don't need that money. That's why it's in the bank. That money could be used to pay for needles for junkies. It could be used to pay for food for poor little Juan coming in from Mexico. That is really all we're saying, is help us produce fairness. And while we're at it, what about all of those amongst us whose children have grown up, who've moved out of the house, who are living in houses with four bedrooms when there are only two of them left? Shouldn't we give one of those bedrooms to a heroin addict in which he could recover? And shouldn't one of the other bedrooms be given to Juan's family from Guatemala so they have a nice roof over their heads? All we're asking is fairness. We're not saying take the house away from America. We're saying just share it and be fair. This is not so far away from the truth. This is what the porcine Jersey demagogue just proposed. Now, for those of you who never read Boris Pasternak's great book, Dr. Zhivago, I recommend that you read Boris Pasternak's great novel called Dr. Zhivago. And it was a movie, of course, with Julie Christie, done in the 1960s, I believe, one of the great movies of its time, and it withstands the test of time. It shows what happened in the Soviet Union after the communists, in those days Bolsheviks, took power, to an ordinary middle-class doctor, what happened to his life, how they moved the lower classes of bums into their house, and how the owners of the house were forced to live in the coal cellar because it was unfair for them to enjoy their own house anymore. This is the mentality of the president, de Blasio, and now Mr. Christie. We certainly know this is what's coming out of the mouth of Hillary Clinton. We know that she's a class warfare warrior. But would you expect Chris Christie to propose a thing like this? Do you know what he just proposed? He just said to you that if you've been putting money into Social Security your whole life, if you make more than $80,000 a year, your benefits should be reduced. If you're making more than $200,000 a year, your money should be stolen from you. Because that's the fair way, that's the American way, is to share it with your neighbor. If you haven't heard it, you're going to hear it again and again on the Savage Nation. How do you feel about Chris Christie, the porcine Jersey demagogue, proposing these changes in Social Security? Topic number two. This came out today, and God bless them. But our government is out of control. We have a rogue government under a rogue, crazed president. And now we read that ISIS is operating in a camp a few miles from Texas, according to Judicial Watch. It came out this morning on WorldNet Daily. ISIS is operating a camp just a few miles from El Paso, Texas, according to Judicial Watch. And their sources include a Mexican Army field grade officer and a Mexican Federale police inspector. They're 8 miles from the U.S. border in an area known as Anpra, situated just west of Ciudad Juarez in the Mexican state of Chihuahua. Another ISIS cell is operating to the west of Ciudad Juarez in Puerto Palomas, and it is targeting the New Mexico towns of Columbus and Deming for easy access to the United States, according to these sources. Did you hear what I just said? During the course of a joint operation last week, Mexican army and federal law enforcement officials discovered documents in Arabic and Urdu, as well as plans of Fort Bliss, the sprawling military installation that houses the U.S. Army's 1st Armored Division. Muslim prayer rugs were recovered with the documents during the operation. Things are coming up roses, aren't they? Life is perfect under the idiot king running America. But if you think the idiot king is bad, you're right. But now we have the idiot kings on the other side proposing fairness under the guise of income redistribution. If you care to join the program, I'll have other breaking news stories as the hour unfolds and as the other hours unfold. The phone number on the Savage Nation is 1-855-400-7282. Let's start with a few calls right now. Let's go to New York City where we have an immediate caller on WABC from Joel. Joel, thanks for making my show so dominant in New York during these hours. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I started putting in to Social Security in 1957. I have put in a total of $396,000, starting out cleaning toilets, cleaning dog cages, pressing pants, doing all kinds of menial jobs, and I worked my way up. And now I get a substantial check, by the way, which is ordinary income taxed to me because I'm still working. And it's my money at no percent. In order for me to even get that back, me and my family have to live another 23 years just to get to zero.
So how do you feel about a so-called Republican, Chris Christie, trying to gain traction in a crowded presidential field by going to the left of Vladimir Lenin?
I think it was someone who said, you know, be careful what you wish for. This was supposed to be a shining star in the Republican Party. It's an insult to anybody who has a brain that if this is the best that the Republicans can muster, a person like this.
Joel, it's unbelievable to me that this man in New Hampshire is trying to court fiscal conservatives by calling for a Marxist redistribution of Social Security for people who earn a little bit of money after a lifetime of putting it in. Joel, I have the same outrage you do, which is why I think it should be the lead story of my show, which is why I made it the lead story. I could not believe it that I would hear something like this. I would say it would come from a crazy idiot in the university who has never worked a day in their life. Somebody like Janet Napolitano, who's never worked a day in their life in the private sector. But to come from Chris Christie, I have a special gift for you, Joel. I'm sending you a free copy of my forthcoming novel, Countdown to Mecca. Please stay on the line. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. We are entering a very dangerous, dangerous phase in America. It doesn't look like it because it's being done slowly, but right in front of our eyes, the Republican Party is now joining the Communists and the Democrat Party. There's no other word for them. Communist is the right word. You can get angry all you want, but I call them communists. Whenever I hear a speech from one of them, whenever I see their statements, their saccharine lies, I say communist, 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 because that's what it is. And now we wake up today and find out that the failed politician from New Jersey, the porcine demagogue, Chris Christie, moves to the left of de Blasio, to the left of Hillary for sure. Even she wouldn't have dared say this. It would have killed her campaign. Do you realize that if Hillary had come out and said what he said today in New Hampshire, her campaign would have been over? I want you to listen again. Well, I'm not going to play it right now. We don't have the time. Why should I give back the Social Security money I've put in? Can anyone explain that to me? Mike on ABC is a communist. He believes that I should. Go ahead. Make your case, Mike.
No, I'm not saying that you should. I'm just looking at the situation the way it is. And you got to admit, everybody realizes that Social Security is going to implode on itself sooner or later, right? I'm not in agreement with this. I mean, this would be money taken out of my pocket as well. So I am, you know, certainly it's a dilemma, but the fact still remains.
Wait a minute. What's the dilemma? What's the dilemma? They should steal from me to give it to a bum?
No. The bottom line is the whole system is bad, but to point Christie out as the bad guy.
But he is the bad guy. He said cut Social Security payments for people making $200,000 a year or more, but it's my money he wants to steal from me, isn't it?
But what would you suggest be...
Well, no, hold it. Don't tell me what I suggest. You mean thievery is the answer?
No, do you hear what I'm saying to you, though? What would you suggest to solve this problem? He's trying to do something.
No, he's not trying to do something. He's trying to use demagoguery in order to attract attention to himself and to make himself look like one of the fair crowd. He's not trying to solve anything. There are many ways to solve the Social Security dilemma. One, you know where the money went, don't you? The government started stealing from the Social Security fund a long time ago in order to fund the welfare state. You understand that, right?
I absolutely. But what?
All right. So we agree that the Social Security fund was raped, going back several administrations. It's been raped for years. The answer is to reduce the size of government, cut the welfare state, fire the employees in the federal government, cut back on the spending. Have you seen the pensions that federal employees are getting? Do you know what your professors in New York are earning and what kind of benefits they're getting? Do you have any idea what the City University of New York pays professors? Do you know what any kind of money is being robbed by the faculty at the SUNY system? The benefits that they're getting? You think professors are poor today? They're doing better than most electricians and plumbers. You talk about fairness? Start by stealing from those who stole from us, the government.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We're living in very dangerous times in America. The world has turned upside down as a result of the demon in the White House. The communist demon in the White House has turned the world upside down, and not for the betterment of humanity, by the way. Revolutions always end badly. Now, we have a social revolution going on in the United States of America right now. And we expect this from the demagogues on the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist side of the aisle. But we wouldn't expect it from the Republican side. They're supposed to represent something different. They're supposed to educate the public as to the values of America, the values of hard work, the values of private property, etc. Instead, we wake up and we see Chris Christie is proposing stealing private property, literally stealing it, saying that anyone who earns more than $80,000 a year should earn less in Social Security than they're entitled to, and anyone who earns $200,000 or more should have their entire Social Security payments eliminated, meaning stolen from them. And then he masks it under the guise of paying the money to younger, hardworking Americans. And it's astounding that it would come from him, given that he's a loser who can't get anywhere anyway. He's been eclipsed by a man as thin as Marco Rubio, to tell you who he is. And I don't mean thin in body weight either. A man as thin on credentials as Marco Rubio is polling higher than him to show you where he's at. But this is an example of what's going on in America. We're moving into the Dr. Zhivago phase of political a dialogue, if you want to call it that. And again, I refer to the film, which many of you may know about, but it's based on the Boris Pasternak novel, which was very, very popular at its time, but was banned in the Soviet Union because it showed what communism did to the middle class during the Russian Revolution, which they call the Russian Civil War of 1917 to 1922. Great story. Pasternak's novel is worth reading. I'd recommend it. And it's what's going to happen in this country unless we stand up to them. First, they came for my Social Security, and you didn't raise your voice because they said it was just fair. Next, they came for my bank account, and they said, if you have more than $100,000 in your bank, you don't need it. You're just parking it in the bank. Anything more than $100,000 should not only be taxed, but taken by the government and redistributed to the poor immigrant. How would you like to wake up to that? Now, let me take it another step for those of you who are idiotic with regard to history. Let's say you're a 22-year-old, I don't know, graduate of a college where your brain was washed and you grew up on drugs. First, your doctor brainwashed you with drugs, destroyed your brain with drugs, telling you had illnesses which you didn't really have, and he put you on Ritalin or Adderall or one of the other drugs to numb your mind and to destroy your ability to critically think. And then you went to college and you had communists who were living on the fat of the land telling you that the country stinks, there should be more fairness in America. And you come out, you're a 22 to 25-year-old, you don't know anything about anything. And now they say that, yeah, you know what, anyone makes more than $80,000 shouldn't get the same amount of Social Security they're entitled to. Anyone making more than $200,000, yeah, they shouldn't make anything at all. After all, they're pigs, they don't need the money. So then tomorrow, someone raises the stakes. De Blasio wants to run for the presidency, perhaps, and he says, you know what, I think anyone with more than $150,000 or $200,000 in the bank is a pig. And they don't really need it, that's why they're parking it in the bank. And that we should either tax it at 50%, even though it's after-tax money, or take it all together and appropriate it and give it away to the illegal immigrants who are just suffering on the bottom in America. They have no right to live that way while people are living so well. And while we're at it, anyone who's living in a house with more than one bedroom will now have to be fair and share that housing with those who have no houses. And so we're going to use some temporary program that I put in place in New York City where if you're living in a house or an apartment, and you're only living there alone or with a woman, you know, your wife of a certain number of years, your children are grown up, don't you think it's only fair that your bedrooms should be occupied by homeless people or illegal immigrants from Guatemala or El Salvador who are getting over tuberculosis? Or one of your bedrooms could certainly be used for rehab, certainly could be used for rehab from someone who's suffering the illness of a drug addiction. And so we're going to ask you to please, temporarily now, we're not taking your house from you or your apartment, please permit the city of New York to put some homeless, needy people in your apartment or your house. And if you don't, we'll put you in prison. You say it's crazy. It's not crazy. This is how it starts. Unless you stand up to these liars from the get-go, that's what's going to happen. Because I know history, and those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. So I think we should play Chris Christie again, if you don't know what I'm talking about. And listen with your own ears and see if I'm being an alarmist about this. Listen.
We should remember that Social Security at its core should be retirement insurance. I'm suggesting that Americans pay into this system throughout the course of their life, knowing that it will be there if they need it to support them in their later years. So seniors will not grow old in backbreaking poverty. But if you're fortunate enough not to need it, you will have paid into a system that will continue to help Americans, neighbors, friends who need it the most. See, I think that's what we've always done for each other, both through private charity and through good government. It's what's fair, and it's what we must continue to do, but we can only do that by changing social
security. So he wants to change Social Security now. Can you imagine what would have happened if this demagogue, if what he's proposing was proposed by Hillary Clinton in the Chipotle chain? Well, that's an exciting campaign unto itself. Look at that. She ate a taco. Isn't that exciting to think that she ate a taco all on her own and no one had to hold it up for her? I mean, that's really a woman of the people with Huma Abedin next to her eating tacos to appeal, I guess, to the Hispanic voter. She chose Chipotle to eat a taco. That's really amazing. That shows you the level of politics in the United States of America. There's other news. Maybe this doesn't interest you. It interests me greatly because this is the road to perdition. This is how it began. This is not how it began, by the way. This is way along the road of income redistribution. First of all, graduated income taxes are already communistic. Did you know that? You mean the more I earn, the more I should pay, proportion I should pay? It shouldn't be a flat income tax. Why is that? You mean when I was making $30,000 a year, I should pay X? If I'm making $300,000 a year, I should pay Y? And if I'm making $3 million a year, I should pay Z? Why? I should be punished for my success? Do you know anybody in the world who wants to work their way down the ladder of success? Have you met them yet? Have you met a single person in your life who wants to work their way down the ladder of success? But that's what your government wants you to do. Let's go to WMAL in Washington, D.C., where I have an astounding 4.5 share of the radio listening audience. Breaking new records in some ways, because this is unheard of in this day and age. People are interested in what I have to say in Washington. WMAL, Dan, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. One thing that I don't know if anybody's caught on to what Chris Christie just said. He just said the kids, we didn't want to punish our kids. Well, in doing that, he just said it was a Ponzi scheme, and everybody knew that there was no money at all in the Social Security Fund. That had been spent a long time ago. But this is the first politician to come out and say it's a Ponzi scheme.
You mean that there's nothing left in it?
That's correct.
So you say he should be given an award for honesty, the Boy Scout badge for honesty?
Oh, no, I didn't say that. Didn't say that, but he's the first politician to come out and openly admit it's a Ponzi scheme. Everybody,
how can he ever expect to court fiscal conservatives in the Republican Party with a proposal like this?
You can't. I don't support him.
All right. I'm sending you a free copy, by the way. Everyone today gets a gift, a copy of my forthcoming novel called Countdown to Mecca. Stay on the line. Starting today, I'm going to start giving them out because the book's coming out in only a few weeks, and I'm going to talk a lot about it as it does. It's so on target, it's frightening. It's a novel. It's a story. But it's a political thriller, let's put it to you that way. Another way to reach you. Let's go to another caller, WFTL in Fort Lauderdale. Roger, I hear the weather's good down there today. What's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you, I am certainly against what Governor Christie had to say, but my solution to those who think that the Social Security system will be broke or is broke is merely to increase the cap. Social Security applies, I believe, to only the first $111,000 of earnings. And if we increase the cap to perhaps the first $125,000 of earnings, the problem would be solved. I don't know why no one has suggested that solution, including the Democrats. And might I add parenthetically, you are right. If Hillary or any other Democrat came out with what Christie said, they would be drummed out of the party.
Absolutely. I mean, when I saw this, I said, he can't really be meaning this. This is utterly who put this in his speech, and he would read this without thinking about it?
Added plenty because he's behind in the polls and had to do something radical to get some attention.
Or how about doing something radical on the conservative side, like saying, I want to close the borders until we can absorb all of the illegals who are here now?
Well,
that might have gotten some traction, don't you think?
Well, he did not say it, and again, I would say the solution to the problem is to raise the cap on the income to which the Social Security tax applies. That would solve the problem. I'm surprised that even the Democrats have not suggested that. But it seems like an easy solution to me.
And wait, raise it from $111,000 to what?
I don't know. Let's say $125,000. I haven't done any math on it, but I think that's the solution. Whatever the Social Security tax rate is, and it's in the low single digits, it applies only to the first about $111,000 of earned income. If they applied it to the first $125,000 of income, or something else the actuaries might suggest, then I think that would solve the problem. I would.
Now, you do know, you're a very intelligent caller, that we do pay income taxes on any Social Security income. You know that, right?
I get Social Security. Believe me, I'm well aware of it.
People think that you get Social Security and you don't pay anything on it. You have to declare it as income, right?
Yes, sir. Not only that, but I'm a sole practitioner. I'm an attorney, and I pay twice because I'm self-employed. I pay as if I were an employee, and I pay as if I was an employer.
Unbelievable. Roger, this kind of rhetoric, as you know, is very dangerous. And you know that he's moving to the left of Hillary Clinton. I mean, let's be logical here. It's shocking that Chris Christie would try a thing like this. It begs the question of why he would say it.
He's desperate. That's why he said it. He is desperate.
If he's desperate, as I say, so come down and say, if I am president, I will close the border with Mexico. I will deport all the illegal aliens in prison because they came here to commit crimes. And then I would absolutely not let new immigrants in until we can absorb those who are here. I can guarantee he'd go from a 1% in the polls to 25% overnight.
So, and I must admit, and I will tell you, I'm a liberal Democrat, but if I were in the White House on September 12, 2001, I would have called up the Border Patrol on the southern border and say, give me your wish list, how much do you want for security reasons after what happened yesterday we cannot.
Have you heard about an ISIS camp only a few miles from Texas that I opened the show with?
Yeah, I, you know, I mean,
how could a liberal Democrat not see that the clown in the White House is destroying us?
I don't know why George W. Bush did not do that. It happened on his watch. He had
because George W. Bush was a liberal Republican, and the emphasis is on the L, not the R.
I don't know. I think he did it because he wanted to provide cheap labor for the agricultural industries, and I think that's why he did not stop illegal border crossing on September 12 of 2001. He wanted.
All right, you make a very good point. Both parties want the labor. The Democrats know they're going to get the vote. The Republicans are willing to forego the vote for the labor in order to pay back those who put them in power. Well, Roger, thanks for elucidating the audience on the Savage Nation. I'm going to send you a free copy of Countdown to Mecca, a novel that I'm sure you'll enjoy reading on the beach of Fort Lauderdale. Time now is 47 minutes after the hour. When I come back, I'll tell you about Teddy getting bitten by a bee last night in the garden and what I had to do about it, and more about Chris Christie saying that Social Security payments should stop for people making $80,000 or more. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Breaking news, the lunatic in the White House. The lunatic in the White House is removing Cuba from a list of state sponsors of terrorism without Congress. That's right. The lunatic in the White House, after reaching out to the terror state of Iran, kicking Israel out into the gutter, has just said, you know what? I want to remove Cuba from the terror list. Now, lifting the U.S. embargo will help the dictators on that island. The Cuban people have lived under the thumb of these two monsters for almost 40 years. And your president said, you know what? Let him enjoy it. They can play dominoes. They can drive a 56 Buick. They get all the free sugar cane they want. Rum is cheap. What more do they need? They got government housing. They got government medicine. It's the kind of country I like. My kind of country. These are the kind of guys who know how to take care of business. There's no messy Republican Party in Cuba. No messy press, no talk radio, nothing. They're the kind of guys that I can relate to. And I'm Barack Obama. Yeah. So let's go back to the porcine Jersey demagogue, Chris Christie, who says that if you make more than $80,000 a year, your Social Security benefits should be cut. And if you make more than $200,000 a year, it should be cut off altogether. And he poses it as fairness. I can't get to it now, but you get the picture. And all the other breaking news in the Savage Nation as we go on the next couple of hours. So last night, 40 seconds to tell a story. All I wanted to do was watch television. I was exhausted. I put the dog out in the yard. He comes back, and I see he's licking the foot. Licking the foot, licking the foot. Not crying. Little 10-pound poodle. I touched his fur. A bee came out. A little honeybee or whatever. Came right out of the pad of the foot. I said, oh, God. So the rest of it is, I tried all sorts of things. I was afraid of poison them. You know what the point of the story is? The nobility of dogs. The dog didn't cry. He didn't whimper. He didn't beg. He didn't ask me to take him to a doctor. He didn't say, take me to a poodle care. Nothing. He just licked his foot and licked his foot and licked his foot. I did the best I could with some Benadryl spray. And about an hour later, he stopped and went to sleep. No more to it than that.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk. Borders, language, culture, and here he is, Michael Savage.
We're now playing the ex-Soviet anthem in New Jersey because the porcine Jersey demagogue, Chris Christie, came out today and said that Social Security payments should be eliminated for people earning a certain amount of money and reduced for others who earn more than $80,000 a year. And he said, do we really believe that the wealthiest Americans need to take from younger, hardworking Americans to receive what for most of them is a modest monthly Social Security check? He did that today, trying to move to the left of de Blasio. It's hard to believe that instead of coming out to the right of Rubio or to the right of Cruz and saying what the average American knows to be important to say, which is borders, language, culture, close the borders, let's absorb the immigrants here, let's deport the criminal aliens in prison, let's make English the official language of America so we don't devolve into a polyglot nation that is like the Tower of Babel. Let's reaffirm our culture. He didn't say any of that. Instead, he reads from the old communist playbook, the porcine Jersey demagogue. Now, I think it was Lady Astor who said you can never be too rich or too thin. I think in Christie's case, the reverse is true, where you can never be too obese and too dense. But before I take your calls on this absurd proposal, because it's stealing the money from those who put it into the system to give to those who did not put it into the system in this Ponzi scheme called Social Security, I'd like to play Chris Christie's speech itself right now on the Savage Nation.
We should remember that Social Security at its core should be retirement insurance. I'm suggesting that Americans pay into this system throughout the course of their life, knowing that it will be there if they need it to support them in their later years, so seniors will not grow old in backbreaking poverty. But if you're fortunate enough not to need it, you will have paid into a system that will continue to help Americans, neighbors, friends who need it the most. See, I think that's what we've always done for each other, both through private charity and through good government.
How could
it's what's fair, and it's what we must continue to do.
Fair.
But we can only do that by changing Social Security. So let's ask ourselves an honest question. Do we really believe that the wealthiest Americans need to take from younger, hardworking Americans
to
receive what, for most of them, is a modest monthly Social Security check? Now, I say no, and I propose a modest means test that only affects those with non-Social Security income of over $80,000 a year and phases out Social Security payments entirely for those that have $200,000 a year in retirement income. Think about how much money you have to have $200,000 in retirement income.
But they didn't
problems
take it from
won't
you,
get
fat,
solved
so.
If we wait for others to solve them.
You bloated
or if
lunatic,
we're afraid
you?
To confront what we know.
Ah, shut
true.
Up. Get him off the show now. I can only take it so long. Finished. Gone. Okay, gone. Gornish there. Zero. Zero brain. So he moves to the left of de Blasio now to attract a little attention. Who's gonna rush to support him now? Who, Code Pinko and the other stinkos in the Occupy movement? And this idiot wants to be the Republican candidate. I don't have anything more to say to that. You can call on it if you want. Here's an interesting story. Space station getting Italian espresso maker. Italian astronaut can't wait. I thought it was made up. There's a female astronaut above the International Space Station, in it rather, named Samantha Cristoforetti, don't you know? Never knew she was there. First of all, the idea of an Italian astronaut with no, I'm not trying to, the whole thing seems, I don't know, it doesn't match to me. Putting the words Italian and astronaut in the same sentence unto itself is bizarre in the world I'm living in. But okay, there is an Italian astronaut up there named Samantha Cristoforetti, and she's tired of the space station's instant coffee. So for a year, they've been trying to send her an espresso machine. And it blew up the last one, so she didn't get the espresso machine. So for the third time, SpaceX will attempt to land a new shipment with 4,000 pounds of food, including an espresso machine for this woman on the space station. Okay, it's a strange world we live in, I got to tell you. So before we go back to Christie, since we're talking about a female Italian astronaut with an espresso machine, it reminds me of an absolutely true story about chivalry in the Italian Navy in World War II before the Nazis became their partners, which I'll never forget because as an ex-boater, I sold my boat a year ago. People say, how do you like your boat? I don't have it anymore. I sold it over a year ago. I got tired of being alone on the bay. You know, the old man in the sea and all of that. It was enough already staring at the gulls and the water and the birds. I loved it. But I had too many years of boating, and it was enough for me. But I sold the boat. But as someone who still loves the water, and I live near the water, and I'm always refreshed by the water, I got to tell you something. There's something so bizarre about the story I'm about to tell you, and something so noble. In the beginnings of World War II, the Italians had a submarine fleet. And what was odd about it, the submarines the Italians built were unlike any other submarines then in existence. Check it out. The conning tower, in other words, the bridge, you know, where the periscope goes up, was very large, 4 or 5 times larger than German, British, French, American submarines. Because the Italians place so much value on eating, even on a submarine, that they put a dining hall in the conning tower. It's an absolute true story. They insisted on sitting down to a good meal in their submarines. And then when Hitler joined Italy in World War II, he insisted they cut their conning towers down to size, and they did. But there's more to the story than that. In the beginning of the war, after the Italian seamen would sink an enemy's ship, they would rescue the survivors because they thought it was a terrible thing to let people die at sea and a terrible thing to machine gun them. And in the beginning, they would go, they'd pick them up and bring them aboard the submarine and give them a meal and take them home, you know, to Italy till the end of the war. Well, again, that was changed when the fascist Nazi socialist from hell, Hitler, came along. He told them they couldn't do that anymore. They had to start shooting the survivors of submarine attacks. Now, that's not a direct relationship to Christie, but I'm just showing you what goes on in the world. So Christie proposed Social Security cuts. That's a big story, which we'll continue to talk about. There's another one that I really want to get to because the sound is very unique and worth listening to. As you know, there's a sycophant at the New York Times who exceeds that of Durante of the 1930s, and I don't mean Jimmy. In the 1930s, there was a reporter who was a Soviet operative at the New York Times named Durante, who apologized for the Soviet Union. No matter what the Soviet Union did, he brushed it aside, whitewashed it, and covered it up. It's the eternal shame of the New York Times. Well, Durante's been replaced by Thomas Friedman, in my opinion. He then goes out of his way to justify Obama's shafting Israel. Okay, stop with the banging already. Today we could do without it. But I can't remember that today. My mind's somewhere else. He goes out of his way to justify the maniac's shafting of Israel and support of the throwback mullahs in Iran. I want you to listen to clip 7 from the Durante of our times, of our time, Thomas Friedman.
Barack Obama is someone who had a lot of Jewish support. I think he's had a lot of Jewish friends. He had come to that interview after his sixth Seder in the White House. He sincerely believes he represents nothing more than a Labor Party, Israeli Labor Party view of the future, which is that Israel will be better off with a two-state solution. That's a view that many, many Israelis hold. And he resents, I think he's frustrated being cast as someone who is somewhat anti-Israel.
So the apologist goes on now and explains why your president relates to the throwback mullahs in Iran so well in clip 8.
Obama is someone who's lived abroad, maybe more than any president in a long time. And because of that, he actually knows what America looks like from the outside in. And he can actually see America,
Hitler,
even to some point, from the Iranian perspective. And it comes through when he says, you know, let's remember, we, the United States, back in the 50s, we toppled Iran's democratically elected government. You know, there might be some reason that these people actually want to get a weapon that will deter that from happening again.
See, the Jews have a name for a man like Thomas Friedman. In the concentration camps, they were known as capos. It's as simple as that. Look up the word capo. And we're not talking about the organized crime capo. We're talking about people like him who justified the Nazis' behavior. And yet, here it is, right in front of your eyes. But because people in New York are so dense and think that because Thomas Friedman is of Jewish descent that he's one of them, that he gets away with a thing like this. Listen to clip 11. Listen to this one if you think the others were astounding. This is even better now in 11.
But when it comes to Iran, Netanyahu's view is that there is no politics in Iran. 85 million Iranians want to get a bomb to drop on Jews the next day. And I think one of the differences between them is that Obama believes there's some really bad actors in Iran, and he believes there's a lot of people that even oppose them internally, and he's trying to construct a deal that will play with that chemistry in a way that will tip it more toward the people favoring engagement in the world.
We knew kids like this in high school. They were known as rats. We had nothing to do with them. We could smell a rat from a mile away, and they were ostracized by my crowd. But okay, the nation has always seen its fools and its traitors, and the Jewish people have them as well. And that's what you're listening to here. There's no question in my mind that Iran wants the bomb for one reason and one reason only, and it's not to develop a relationship with Israel. Let's put it to you that way. All right, let's go back to the Christie story, because that's the one that's taken hold here on the program today. The phone number is 855-400, I don't know the number, 407-282. I'm almost reluctant to play Rubio. I have no feelings for him other than he's way over his head. That the only reason he is where he is because the dolts in the Republican Party chose to push this guy way beyond his pay scale, only because he has a vowel at the end of his name. What they don't seem to understand is that Rubio is of Cuban descent, and moreover, his parents came to America in 1955 before Castro's revolution. So he's not even part of the Mariel boatlift. They weren't even fleeing communism. There's almost no claim to that issue. Secondly, do you think that all Hispanics love each other? What world are you people living in? It's like saying all white people like each other. All black people love each other. All Jews get along. You people are so stupid that you think that someone who's a Latino is monolithically appealing to all Latinos. Are you assuming that all Mexicans like Cubans? Are you assuming that El Salvadorans like people from Guatemala? Are you people that thin? Yes, I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
The prize in the White House has broken his vow to recognize the Armenian genocide. Turkish president called him up, and he catered to him once again because of the Muslim pressure, and spit in the face of the millions of Armenians who died and the relatives of those who were slaughtered by the Ottoman Turks. You say, who cares? It's ancient history. What do I care about? Well, why do you care about the Jewish Holocaust then? I mean, excuse me. There was the first Holocaust of the 20th century was the Armenian Holocaust. 3 to 4 million were slaughtered mercilessly by the Ottoman Turks, Muslims, by the way, because they were Christians. Just what is going on now under his watch. See, many of you are so deluded, you say, you know, the world's not a bad place right now. Look how good I'm doing, and look how nice America is. Well, I remind you that while Jews and others were being tortured and dying in gas chambers, the sky was blue a few miles away. The clouds were white a few miles away. The tablecloths were clean a few miles away. And people had nice dinners a few miles away, and they knew nothing about the death camps, so they said. And you know nothing about the death camps going on in the Middle East. You don't want to know about it. You want to live in the Pollyanna world. My job is to make you awake, to awaken you. That's my job. And that's why I do the show every day. It's why I wrote the novel called Countdown to Mecca. And I'm very proud to talk about it for a minute. Actually, I think I'll do it right now. The novel will be out in a few weeks. It's the third in the series of the Jack Hatfield thriller series. And the first one was called Abuse of Power. I think it was 5 weeks on the New York Times list. The second was A Time for War, also on the list a few weeks. And the protagonist of my novels is Jack Hatfield. He's a freelance journalist, and he was thrown off television. He had a TV program called Truth Tellers, and they distorted what he said. They twisted his words and said he wanted to kill Muslims when he never said that. And the rest is history, but he remains a true journalist. And then this book, I've taken it to a new level. The timing couldn't be better. Countdown to Mecca. It's an astounding plot, by the way. And it's not derivative. It's not copied from anyone else in the thriller field. I'm sure many of them will be jealous as heck, even those who outsell me 100 to 1. Because the characters are original, including Saul Minsky, San Francisco-based Jewish gangster. Dover Griffith, his girlfriend who works for Naval Intelligence. And let's see who else I put in the book. Anastasia Vincent, the Russian-born escort. And others, there are others. And I did something interesting. In the front of the book, I did what the old Russian novelists used to do. I list the cast of characters, their name and who they are in the book, because they're hard. You can't follow them otherwise. And I will start reading from the book maybe next week, not today, because some of it's really good. So you got a couple of great scenes in there. And it's a group of generals at West Point who have a plot to do something at Mecca to stop the Muslim attacks around the world. But wiser people realize that if they do follow through on this attack, it will set off World War III, and they try to stop the generals. You get the plot, sort of, without me giving it away? And so this is very complicated in one way and very easy in the other. And in one of the scenes, Jack is flying back after meeting a rich man, and he's 50,000 feet over the Atlantic heading east. Jack had too much time to think on the flight to Riyadh, but his time was spent in comfort. Doc had secured a Gulfstream 650, which had already set around-the-world speed records. And I describe life inside a Gulfstream 650. Again, I like technology. It's all in the book, Countdown to Mecca. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
He comes out and wants to steal our Social Security money. And here we have the thin man, Rubio. I have to play him in clip 19. Let's just listen to him. Give him a break.
Got I recognize it. The demands of this office that I seek.
Oh, please.
But in this endeavor, as in all things,
finish.
I find comfort in the ancient command. Be strong and courageous.
Oh, please.
Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go.
I ran away from. Sounds like a reform rabbi that chased me. I ran out of the temples when I heard this. The minute they started in with that sanctimoniousness, I was gone. And the voice, you know, in radio, it's funny. When you apply for a job in radio, you can't do it anymore. There are no jobs in radio. But when I started 21 years ago, I sent tapes out to 450 stations. And six of them wanted to give me a shot on their radio station. And it was later in my life already. I met a program director who said to me that he gets hundreds of tapes a week, and he listens to them, and he knows within 7 seconds whether or not the person could be on the radio. I'm going to play clip 19 again and tell me if you think this man is fit to be president. Listen to the voice in clip 19.
I recognize the demands of this office that I seek.
Four, 5, 6.
But in this endeavor, as in all things.
Break. That's it. Don't even send the tape back. He doesn't even get a reply. He cannot be on the radio, meaning he can't be president. I'm telling you right now, his voice isn't strong enough. It's empty. It's empty. There's no there. There's nothing. They pushed him ahead out of nowhere. It reminds me of that movie with Peter Sellers where they take a gardener and make him president. Remember that one? Look what we had with Obama. Being there. Look what they, I said the name again. Look what they, with Obama, they took a guy unqualified at any speed. Take a look at the world, the shape the world is in right now. I mean, he didn't have the sycophants in the media. Believe me, he wouldn't be where he is. And they keep him propped up like that Thomas Friedman. Okay, clip 20. Let's hear the next one of old Marco Rubio. Let's hear the next one.
I've heard some suggest that I should step aside and wait my turn.
No,
but I cannot.
No.
Because I believe our very identity as an exceptional nation is at stake, and I can make a difference as president.
Oh, hey, that's really deep, man. That's real deep. So far, he said nothing. What's he going to do? No one knows. What does he stand for? Nothing. Why should he be elected? Because. Another one, who advises these people? Secondly, I could care less what's happening in 2016 and 2015. The world is aflame outside this country. ISIS has a camp a few miles from Texas, according to Mexican military authorities. Syrian refugees are being brought into this country and put into cities and towns without notice by the character in the White House and his band of merry pranksters. No, the world is not in a perfect place. Not a perfect place. And then you have the sycophants, the Friedmans of the world, who sell his country down the river just in order to curry favor with the king of America. Meanwhile, in the Middle East, we see a good sign. Jordan's King Abdullah says airstrikes increasing inside Syria and Iraq, and they're doing the job. Doing the job that your leader refuses to do. And they decided to stand up on their own two feet and to go after the bad guys on their own. That's the good Muslims versus the crazies. Meanwhile, Jordan's overrun with 1.5 million Syrian refugees in a nation that makes up 20 to 21% of their population. Did you hear that? Now, that's a problem. But take a guess what percent of our population here in America consists of refugees from the poor nations south of our border. Is it more like 23%? Who's paying for it? You are the idiot. Which leads me to a little hope. As you know, I'm giving away money. Fool that I am. I'm giving away $100,000, five scholarships of $20,000 each. The scholarship applications closed on my birthday on March 31st. We're reviewing them now. Winners will be announced on July 4th. But every once in a while, I'm going to read you one from a young person, as I'm going to do now. It's only 500 words to give you hope that there are young people who know what's going on. It's called The American Ultimatum. To be an American means to be free, but with such great privilege comes the greater responsibility of being a vigilant steward of our mutual liberty. This is from a student just entering college. Can you believe this? Can you imagine if Rubio wrote a thing like this? I don't even know if he can read the words. They're too big. From its frail conception and its modern beginning, from its frail conception to its modern reign, the United States of America has been appraised in the highest esteem by peoples both proud and jealous of its guaranteed freedoms and ensured security. The American citizenry prospers unlike any other in human history, primarily because of our safeguarded freedoms, life, liberty, and property. These natural rights are inalienable. They alone are what constitute true freedom. Free will restrained by justice. Though these rights may be God-given, the fundamental rights of life, liberty, and property are only as strong as their protector. The state is the only institution wholly capable of preserving the rights of man and perpetuating their existence through the administration of impartial justice vis-a-vis the establishment of laws, police, and courts. Yet due to its historical inclination to degenerate into a tyrannical malefactor, every government is, in the words of Thomas Paine, a necessary evil. Thus, in order to maintain a just state and prevent oppression, certain limitations ought to be imposed upon any system of governance, namely the sovereignty of the governed, the rule of law, and the separation of powers. Again, I'm reading an essay written by a young person who's entering college. One more page. The American Republic has always been upheld by these democratic maxims. Nonetheless, even as Americans continue to exercise their freedoms, many are oblivious to the abuse of their acquired rights. Through the progressive implementation of the socialist welfare state, America exchanged sound stewardship for irresponsible distributive justice. Legal plunder, the means so greatly despised, has realized the end of equalitarian welfare. The United States ceased to remain a Lockean night watchman when it instituted the New Deal reforms. These progressive laws promised alleviation for afflicted classes through the introduction of unnatural positive rights, the freedom from fear and the freedom from want. However, these freedoms are not true freedoms as they are reliant on a constant supply of resources. The rights afforded by the welfare state are not actually inalienable. Sadly, to fund these imposters of genuine freedom, the wealthier minority is extorted to inflate the felicity of the poorer majority by paying what President Obama arbitrarily deems their, quote, fair share. Moreover, American taxpayers have resorted to accumulating trillions of dollars in unfunded liabilities. Here's how this young student closes this application. The renowned orator Patrick Henry asked, if life is so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price... No, I'm sorry. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Indeed, the American welfare state enhances the acquired rights of the many by trampling over the natural rights of the few.
Furthermore, current generations steal from the wealth of future generations through our overwhelming debts. Thus, the American welfare state is the antithesis of the American dream. We must now choose either natural freedom or redistributive slavery. True patriotism today demands wholehearted conviction and unwavering action to divert America away from a potentially ruinous course and toward a better future grounded in our original founding principles. Written by a teenager applicant to the Savage Scholarship Fund. It's astounding, isn't it? I'd like to juxtapose that with the stupidity and the anti-Americanism of the porcine Jersey demagogue Chris Christie right now in the Savage Nation.
We should remember that Social Security at its core should be retirement insurance. I'm suggesting that Americans pay into this system throughout the course of their life, knowing that it will be there if they need it to support them in their later years. So seniors will not grow old in backbreaking poverty. But if you're fortunate enough not to need it, you will have paid into a system that will continue to help Americans, neighbors, friends who need it the most.
Oh, go to.
See, I think that's what we've always done for each other.
Oh, you lying pig.
Both through
pig.
Private charity.
Period. Pig.
And through good government.
Lying pig.
It's fair, and it's what we must continue to do.
Communist
bum. We can only
bum.
Do that by changing Social Security. So let's ask ourselves an honest question. Do we really believe that the wealthiest Americans need to take from younger, hardworking Americans
can you believe what you're listening
to receive to? What, for most of them, is a modest monthly Social Security check? Now, I say no, and I propose a modest means test that only affects those with non-Social Security only? Income of over $80,000 a year and phases out Social Security payments entirely for those that have $200,000 a year in retirement income. Think about how much money you have $200,000 in retirement income. Problems won't get solved if we wait for others to solve them, or if we're afraid to confront what we know to be true. Today, we know this. Our entitlement system is out of control.
Today we know that liars like you don't belong in public office. Today we know that if anyone gave a speech like this a number of years ago, they would have been put in prison for sedition. Today we know that you're reading from the Marxist playbook. Today we know you moved to the left of de Blasio and Hillary Clinton. Today we know you're reading a rhetoric that is astonishing on the face of it and stupid below the face of it. And I have nothing more to say, Christy. You're finished. Let's go to some of the callers on the Savage Nation. Online, Bill, you're up. Go ahead. Fire away.
North Carolina, listening on the Internet. The comments you said about the Latinos and not liking each other, so to speak. I was a assistant teacher at a high school in Redondo Beach, California, and I had three of the Noriegan nephews in the class as well. There was a number of South Americans.
What's your main point, Bill?
The thing was is that there was a huge fight, I mean a fist fight that went outside of the classroom from between the guy from Mexico and the guy from Nicaragua.
Right. Well, that's my point. Point is what the Republicans are so stupid that they think because this thin man, Rubio, has a Hispanic name that all Hispanics are going to run to him. That's my point. It's idiotic.
It is just so nuts. And the Cuban, there was a Cuban foreign language boss that I had, and she.
All right, I get it. You agree with me. And by the way, the correct word is not Latino. It's Hispanic. Latino is a leftist. It's leftist jargon. The word Latino. The correct word is Hispanic. Incidentally, if you look it up, you'll understand what I'm saying to you. All right, you only want to talk about Christian. I don't blame you. Rose on WABC has something else to say. Rose, thanks for calling from New York City. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Michael. I want to thank you for being the rare public voice who talked about the Armenian Genocide. Your program yesterday brought me to tears when you recounted the history of the massacres. Thank you so much.
But why is it that your president or some people's president would not even mention the Armenian genocide and cater to Turkey? How could he do a thing like that to the Armenian people?
Because that's been going on throughout our American history. They haven't recognized it as a genocide.
But are Armenian people Democrats? Do any of them still vote for that party?
Who, the Armenians?
Yeah, are they Democrat liberals? I would think that they would never vote for them.
No, Armenians are not just they're not unilaterally Democrats or Republicans.
So no, okay, of course, no people are unilaterally anything. But would you say they're largely conservative or liberal? The Armenian
conservative.
Oh, so no wonder Obama threw them over the overboard.
I know.
He discarded them. He doesn't need them. They're like white people with an IAN at the end of their name. Is that it?
You are so knowledgeable.
3 to 4 million Armenians were slaughtered mercilessly by the Muslim Ottoman Turks. It's one of the black eyes of human history. And I'm talking about people's eyes cut out for sport. I can go down the list of atrocities. You know, all you've got to do is go to Google or one of the other search engines and under pictures, photos, images, and image the Armenian genocide. And take a look at the thousands upon thousands of documents documenting the slaughter of Armenians. And the same deniers of the Armenian Holocaust deny the Jewish Holocaust. You know that as well, Rose, don't you?
Very true.
Now, here's a terrible question for me to have to ask. You're living in New York, correct?
Yes.
You obviously, you're Armenian. Do you have all Armenian friends? Do you have any Jewish friends?
Oh, absolutely.
Do any of them acknowledge the Armenian Holocaust?
No, they don't even know about it.
But if you tell them about it, what do they do?
Nothing. They've been through the hell themselves.
Another. So their Holocaust was worse, so yours doesn't count?
Well, that's human nature, I guess.
You're a very forgiving woman. All right, Rose, it's a terrible world, but the truth is people don't care about their neighbor. They never did, they never will. Rose, I'm sending you a present. I know it's a belated Easter present, but you're going to love the novel, Countdown to Mecca. Stay in the line. You're going to get a crisp hardcover copy in a couple of weeks, the minute it's out. Countdown to Mecca, almost named the first novel of Time for War. A plane bound for Amman, Jordan, goes down in the Caspian Sea. The crash yields no survivors except the hijacker. And a cask containing an agent of unprecedented destructive potential is missing from the plane wreckage. A carefully plotted terrorist attack has been put into motion, and the resulting chaos might be enough to push America toward another costly war. Countdown to Mecca, it's a gripping page-turner. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
You know that I'm not a fan of the president, and you know that today he refused to identify evil again by backing out on his promise to recognize the Armenian genocide, the 100th anniversary of which is occurring. In this, he is more reptilian than Machiavellian, because he knows that the Armenian people don't vote for liberal Democrats like him, because they recognize the danger they put themselves in. Here is a man so reptilian that he appeased the Iranians, legitimized the Castros, while attacking Benjamin Netanyahu. No dictator on earth is too low for him. No autocrat is too mean for him. I say to you, today is a new low point in this reptilian president's behavior. Again, he broke his promise to the Armenian people, refusing to recognize the 1.5 to 3 million who were slaughtered mercilessly by the Muslim Ottoman Turks in 1915. Have a nice day.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Turn it off already. I'm not interested in anything. As I said, look, Obama's more reptilian than Machiavellian. He goes where the money is. He goes where the power is. He has no values whatsoever. And we know he catered to the Iranian dictators because he realized that there are more Iranians than Jews. He catered to the Castro brothers because he knows that most Cubans hate him anyway.
and the communists like him, so he got a twofer out of that one. Last Sunday, Pope Francis, who I'm not a big fan of because of his liberalism and his speaking on issues that I think cross the blood-brain barrier separating church from state, the Pope came out and said something very brave, I believe, and it had an immediate reaction. He said that he wanted a recognition of the first genocide of the 20th century, which was the Armenian Genocide, the 100th anniversary of which is this month. But your president, your reptilian president, refuses to identify evil because he broke that promise again today. The minute the Pope said this, the bully dictator of Turkey, Erdogan, recalled its ambassador immediately. So you'd think that the president of the most powerful nation on earth, a nation that allegedly is pushing human rights and democracy around the world, notice I say allegedly, which it is not doing, by the way, would recognize this genocide, especially since it points out the dangers of radical Islam. But more than that, your president promised he would do so. Did you know that while he was a candidate, he made it a big issue of his? Back in January of 2008, your president, the reptilian Senator Barack Obama, said this. He said, 2 years ago, I criticized the Secretary of State for the firing of U.S. Ambassador to Armenia, John Evans, after he properly used the term genocide to describe Turkey's slaughter of, quote, thousands of Armenians starting in 1915. He got that wrong. It wasn't thousands, it was millions. But your president went on. He said, I shared with Secretary Rice my firmly held conviction that the Armenian genocide is not an allegation, a personal opinion, or a point of view, but rather a widely documented fact supported by an overwhelming body of historical evidence. And then he went on to say, as a senator, I strongly support passage of the Armenian Genocide Resolution, H Resolution 106 and Senate Resolution 106, and as president, I will recognize the Armenian genocide. And he broke it, though, today. He won't even acknowledge that he broke his commitment. Instead, he twisted his words again. Twisted them once again. He won't use the word genocide. Now, you would think that the Jewish people in America would take affront at this. You'd think that all the professional Jews, and I can name them all, who are in it the same way he's in it for the presidency, in my opinion, would talk about the worst atrocity of the 20th century prior to the Holocaust against the Jews, when 1.5 million Armenians were massacred or marched to their death in the final days of the Ottoman Empire. You say the word march to death, you hear the word massacre, it has no meaning. But if you actually look at the photographic evidence of buckets of human eyes cut out of men, women, and children by the Muslims, the bloodthirsty, crazy Ottoman Turks, burning churches to the ground, you would understand what I'm talking about. Now, what is the point of this? To embarrass the current generation of Turkish people? Absolutely not. It's to remind the world of the despicable nature of man and what man is capable of unless he is shamed into behaving in another way or stopped altogether from behaving in this despicable way. That is the point of an Armenian Remembrance Day. That is the point of the Holocaust Remembrance that the Jewish people rightly continue to push. It's to prevent another Holocaust from occurring. And that's all I have to say on that issue. Phone number here is 855-400-7282. Do you understand all of the topics I've talked about yet? Let's go to WABC in New York. Rick, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Savage, this is Rick in New York. I'm going to tie the Rubio and the Christie things together for you. This is simple. If Rubio is the nominee, being Cuban, he wins Florida. Now, New Jersey has a huge, what people don't realize, Cuban population in it. Okay, if he picks Christie as vice president, they carry New Jersey and Florida, and it's a win for the Republicans. This is Chris Christie hoping that Rubio is the nominee, and if he's vice president, it's just I see it as a simple.
So in other words, he's Machiavellian and reptilian all in one.
Yes.
Okay, but in other words, it's all about winning, not about speaking anything to the truth.
Exactly. Oh, what politician speaks anything to the truth?
I don't know. We once had politicians who spoke the truth. There were some along the way who did.
But few and far between, and not the
right, not in this degenerate age. I get it. Not in this debased, degenerate age where we have a drugged, mentally ill population that's living on medication and pornography.
And this is, I think this is a play for Christie for vice president because I think.
Well, you're pretty smart, Rick. I got to admit it. You're pretty smart. So the poor sign Jersey demagogue talked about income redistribution in the form of stopping Social Security payments to people who make more than 80 grand a year in order to appease who? He wasn't appeasing Cubans, though, Rick. Who was he appeasing? He was appeasing the radical communists in the communist left in America.
Yeah, but you need a little left vote in New Jersey to carry New Jersey. This is all, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it. This is to carry Florida.
So in other words, he's not qualified to be anything, Christie. He's just another Machiavellian liar.
Of course.
Okay, but you're saying, so what? So why, wait, so that begs the question of why should I care whether he wins or not? Why should I care if someone as low as this becomes vice president if he's no good?
Well, the other party's the same. Someone has to win. You know,
Oh, yeah, you just hit the nail on the head. The other party's the same. That's just the point.
The lesser of two evils.
Who says they're the lesser of two evils? How does Christie's policy statement that we should steal Social Security money from people who put it into the system differ from that of the renegades on the radical left, on the Democrat side? How does it differ from de Blasio?
I would say de Blasio wants to steal your Social Security money, your money in the bank, your housing money when you sell it and everything else. They just want to take your Social Security.
I see. So Christie will only steal my Social Security income right now. He's one of the good thieves.
He's a good thief in the sense he's taken.
Yeah. And what is Rubio's qualification other than he has a vowel at the end of his name?
Rubio's qualification. He's young, good looking, and a Republican. He has no qualifications whatsoever.
God. Oh, man, you're a man after my own heart. Is this what America deserves? Is this the best we can do? An unknown man with a vowel at the end of his name for the presidency? And a poor sign demagogue from New Jersey? That's the best the Republican Party can offer?
Yeah, look what we got with Obama. This guy never had a job in his life. In 30 years, never had a job in his life.
Well, wait, what has Rubio done?
God, I guess he was a politician for 20 years.
He never had a job either. Did he ever have a business? I don't know.
No, it seems his mother and father were hard workers.
Yeah, I understand. I loved his story about his mother and father. Why is it that so-called conservative talkers are in love with this guy? What is it about him?
I don't know. I can't figure that out.
But you know, you're a smart guy, Rick. You're a guy, I would say, at least you know, you can figure out why they're doing it, which is better than say, you didn't say you agree with it. You're saying this is why. So I'm going to send you something, a free gift. If you can name my forthcoming novel, I'm going to send you a free copy, which will be out in about 2 weeks. Go ahead. I bet you forgot it already.
But I just bought the last one, actually.
All right, then, okay, Countdown to Mecca. Everyone better write it down if they want free copies, if they get on the show, because I start saying, if you name it, you gain it. But soon you're going to have to name it. 855-400-7282. One last caller at this particular juncture. KSFO in my hometown of San Francisco. John in San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Uncle Mike, John, San Francisco, KSFO. You know, and talking about honest politicians, that's right. That guy should have looked right at the camera and just said, you know, to my fellow constituents and government officials, it's been a good ride. But we just can't afford these unfunded liabilities and these out-of-the-world pension plans that we've been receiving and handing out any longer. So it's a really clean house. You know, the buck stops with us. How about fishing?
You're in the Bay Area. Do you know how much money professors at University of California at Berkeley make?
We know they're in the mid to high six-figure range, I would say.
But give us the number, roughly what you think the average professor at UC Berkeley is making, these people who claim that they can get a better job in the private sector for more money. Give me the actual number, because I'm going to shock you in a minute.
$250,000.
$400,000. $400,000 if they're the head of a department. Can you believe that they're making that kind of money? There's a scandal brewing at the University of California at Berkeley right now where Janet Napolitano sided with a sexist pig who attacked the man for touching her.
and they threw him out of the university. The guy is one of the biggest fundraisers for research in the university. He makes $400,000 a year. And a woman who was fired from her job for for having an affair with a younger researcher a while ago and raising his salary, doubling his salary, fired for that, has now gotten the top researcher of UC Berkeley fired, claiming that he touched her inappropriately. And you know why it happened? Because none other than the dangerous demagogue Janet Napolitano, who is now chancellor of this once great system, came out and said that she should absolutely be believed, because she said he kissed the back of her neck and sent affectionate and familiar emails to her. And as a result, because of that and touching her feet, apparently, during a gathering with colleagues in 09 at the Cal Faculty Club, he was fired from the job, even though he brought more money than anyone else into the university. All because the demagogue Janet Napolitano said he should. And by the way, the woman bringing these charges had a relationship with her purchasing manager, Jonathan Caniezo, who was 17 years younger than her. And it was detailed in a whistleblower letter to her bosses. And while the two were together with this doll, the assistant, Canizeo's annual pay went from $57,000 in 08 to $120,000 a year as a purchasing manager, right? As a result of that, she was reassigned from her $188,000 a year job to an advisor's role that paid $175,000 a year. But that's not the end of the story. After many years of hanging out with this gentleman in the research department, she suddenly attacked him and said that he had inappropriately done this and inappropriately did that. And joining her was none other than the demagogue monster, Janet Napolitano, who has single-handedly diminished the value of a University of California education. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. It is the Savage Nation. There's so much news out there, but you can read it yourself. You go to one of the great sites, you know, they're all there, and you can see the stories in 3 seconds or less. That's what I understand. The relevance of radio isn't reading you the news headlines. You can go on Drudge or any of the others, and in about 30 seconds, you can see everything going on in the world. So what do you listen to radio for? It's to get perspective, to sound off, to get occasional quips like the poor sign Jersey demagogue, or to hear me say that Obama is more reptilian than Machiavellian. Those are good lines. I'm shocked my brain still works given the allergies that I'm suffering through. But my dog doesn't complain, and I shouldn't either. You know, they're so noble. As I say, it was a long reptilian day yesterday. It was a long day's journey in tonight for me yesterday with the allergies that just whack me out in the spring. No matter what I do, it's so awful. It's like suffering through it's like a disease. Allergies are a disease, and I don't take medication. They make it worse. So I suffer, and I do my show, and it leaves me exhausted. My brain, it does not fire on all 18 cylinders when I have allergies. I'm running on about 16, which is about 15 more than Rubio has. But nevertheless, okay, I know I'm the Rubio. I may use a Rubio as a foil for the rest of the campaign. Of all of them, I've never seen anyone less qualified in my entire life. All right, Cruz I could vote for. Not Rubio, I'm sorry. Cruz was a Harvard graduate, edited the Harvard Law Review. Okay, that's one thing. I don't even know if Rubio went to college. I'm sure he did. Maybe, I don't even know what he did. I don't even understand who he is. Why? From day one, I didn't understand this guy. But nevertheless, so the dog goes out in the yard. I was exhausted. I just wanted to watch TV at night. Did you ever just want to veg out? All right, but to justify it, I like World War II history. You know, Hitler moves east and gets smashed by the Russians, and I think of the 500,000, the million Russian men. I look at the pictures, the documentary pictures of a million Russian men captured by the Nazis, and very few ever came back. And I look at these handsome young white men, and then I look at the millions of Germans decimated and slaughtered
by the Russians. And I say, look at the world we're in today, and you know why? Because white men killed each other in World War I and World War II. They decimated each other. And you say, well, wait a minute, what are you saying? No one else died? That is not my point. That is not my point at all. You can misinterpret anything anyone says. That's not what I'm saying to you. What I'm saying to you is I look at these faces of these young men, and I don't see nationality. I don't even see race. What I see is youth and vitality stolen from the world forever. And I see a vigor stolen from a nation forever. And I ask myself, how can the world go on with such wholesale slaughter? And then I say, wait a minute, but in the Middle East right now, it's Muslim killing Muslim. Not yet at the levels of white man killing white man. Not millions killing millions. But they're doing a pretty good job of committing genocide against each other. Sunni against Shia, Shia against Sunni. And it would take a pope to figure out how to stop man from being such a bloodthirsty animal, to be honest with you. And Teddy comes in from the garden licking his leg. And I touch his fur and a bee falls out. And then the fun began. But he didn't whimper, he didn't cry. My 10-pound dog has more nobility than most Americans on welfare and Obamacare.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It came out this morning on WorldNet Daily. ISIS is operating a camp just a few miles from El Paso, Texas, according to Judicial Watch. And their sources include a Mexican Army field grade officer and a Mexican Federale police inspector. They're 8 miles from the U.S. border in an area known as ANPRA, situated just west of Ciudad Juarez in the Mexican state of Chihuahua. Another ISIS cell is operating to the west of Ciudad Juarez in Puerto Palomas, and it is targeting the New Mexico towns of Columbus and Deming for easy access to the United States, according to these sources. Did you hear what I just said? During the course of a joint operation last week, Mexican Army and federal law enforcement officials discovered documents in Arabic and Urdu, as well as plans of Fort Bliss, the sprawling military installation that houses the U.S. Army's 1st Armored Division. Muslim prayer rugs were recovered with the documents during the operation. Things are coming up roses, aren't they? Life is perfect under the idiot king running America. But if you think the idiot king is bad, you're right. But now we have the idiot kings on the other side proposing fairness under the guise of income redistribution. Just when we thought the Republicans couldn't move further to the left than they already have, just when we thought they couldn't find less experienced, less qualified people, they did. And today, Chris Christie gave us a wake-up call as to how foul the Republican brand has become when he proposed cuts in Social Security. The argument is not only insulting, it's criminal, but it's wrong. Idiot Christie should know that we pay income taxes on our Social Security income. Did you know that? Do you know that the federal law has forced me to start taking Social Security even though I didn't want it? I didn't want to take it. Did you know that the government has forced me to accept Medicare at a certain age or I would have retained private insurance? Did you know that I pay a fortune in Medicare Part A and Supplemental Part B? Did you know that I pay a fortune for prescription drug programs that are forced upon me by this criminal Soviet government of ours? And now along comes Christie, proposing that they take away your Social Security that you put into the system your entire life. Listen to what I just said to you. I've been working since I'm a kid. I look back on my Social Security record, and I see that I was putting money in since I'm, I don't know how old, 15, 16, 17, I don't know how old. And I collect a Social Security check in addition to the money I make in radio and writing and other ways. It's my money, though. And if I want to give it away, I give it away. It's not for this porcine demagogue from Jersey to tell me I owe it to my neighbor. This is the same argument that was used by Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin in the Soviet Union while trying to stir up the masses to cause the Bolshevik Revolution. But it doesn't end with stealing my Social Security, does it? The next step is this. If you have more than $100,000 in the bank, is it fair for you to have $100,000 in the bank when a poor junkie living in the Bronx needs those needles at Needle Exchange?
Is it fair for you to have $100,000 in the bank of your money? You don't need that money. That's why it's in the bank. That money could be used to pay for needles for junkies. It could be used to pay for food for poor little Juan coming in from Mexico. That is really all we're saying, is help us produce fairness. And while we're at it, what about all of those amongst us whose children have grown up, who've moved out of the house, who are living in houses with four bedrooms, when there are only two of them left? Shouldn't we give one of those bedrooms to a heroin addict in which he could recover? And shouldn't one of the other bedrooms be given to Juan's family from Guatemala so they have a nice roof over their heads? All we're asking is fairness. We're not saying take the house away from America. We're saying just share it and be fair. This is not so far away from the truth. This is what the poor sign Jersey demagogue just proposed. Now, for those of you who never read Boris Pasternak's great book, Dr. Zhivago, I recommend that you read Boris Pasternak's great novel called Dr. Zhivago. And it was a movie, of course, with Julie Christie, done in the 1960s, I believe, one of the great movies of its time, and it withstands the test of time. It shows what happened in the Soviet Union after the communists, in those days Bolsheviks, took power, to an ordinary middle-class doctor, what happened to his life, how they moved the lower classes of bums into their house, and how the owners of the house were forced to live in the coal cellar because it was unfair for them to enjoy their own house anymore. This is the mentality of the president, de Blasio, and now Mr. Christie. We certainly know this is what's coming out of the mouth of Hillary Clinton. We know that she's a class warfare warrior. But would you expect Chris Christie to propose a thing like this? Do you know what he just proposed? He just said to you that if you've been putting money into Social Security your whole life, if you make more than $80,000 a year, your benefits should be reduced. If you're making more than $200,000 a year, your money should be stolen from you, because that's the fair way. That's the American way. The fact of the matter is we're living in very dangerous times in America. The world has turned upside down as a result of the demon in the White House. The communist demon in the White House has turned the world upside down, and not for the betterment of humanity, by the way. Revolutions always end badly. Now, we have a social revolution going on in the United States of America right now. And we expect this from the demagogues on the Democrat, socialist, Islamist side of the aisle. But we wouldn't expect it from the Republican side. This is an example of what's going on in America. We're moving into the Dr. Zhivago phase of political dialogue, if you want to call it that. And again, I refer to the film, which many of you may know about, but it's based on the Boris Pasternak novel, which was very, very popular at its time, but was banned in the Soviet Union because it showed what communism did to the middle class during the Russian Revolution, which they call the Russian Civil War of 1917 to 1922. Great story. Pasternak's novel is worth reading. I'd recommend it. And it's what's going to happen in this country unless we stand up to them. So Christie proposed Social Security cuts. That's a big story, which we'll continue to talk about. There's another one that I really want to get to because the sound is very unique and worth listening to. As you know, there's a sycophant at the New York Times who exceeds that of Durante of the 1930s, and I don't mean Jimmy. In the 1930s, there was a reporter who was a Soviet operative at the New York Times named Durante who apologized for the Soviet Union. No matter what the Soviet Union did, he brushed it aside, whitewashed it, and covered it up. It's the eternal shame of the New York Times. Well, Durante's been replaced by Thomas Friedman, in my opinion. He goes out of his way to justify the maniac's shafting of Israel and support of the throwback mullahs in Iran. I want you to listen to clip 7 from the Durante of our times,
of our time, Thomas Friedman.
Barack Obama is someone who had a lot of Jewish support. I think he's had a lot of Jewish friends. He had come to that interview after his sixth Seder in the White House. He sincerely believes he represents nothing more than a Labor Party, Israeli Labor Party view of the future, which is that Israel will be better off with a two-state solution. That's a view that many, many Israelis hold, and he resents, I think he's frustrated being cast as someone who is somehow anti-Israel.
So the apologist goes on now and explains why your president relates to the throwback mullahs in Iran so well in clip 8.
Obama is someone who's lived abroad, maybe more than any president in a long time. And because of that, he actually knows what America looks like from the outside in. And he can actually see America,
Hitler,
even to some point, from the Iranian perspective. And it comes through when he says, you know, let's remember, we, the United States, back in the 50s, we toppled Iran's democratically elected government. You know, there might be some reason that these people actually want to get a weapon that will deter that from happening again.
See, the Jews have a name for a man like Thomas Friedman. In the concentration camps, they were known as capos. It's as simple as that. Look up the word capo. And we're not talking about the organized crime capo. We're talking about people like him who justified the Nazis' behavior. And yet, here it is, right in front of your eyes. But because people in New York are so dense and think that because Thomas Friedman is of Jewish descent that he's one of them, that he gets away with a thing like this. Listen to clip 11. Listen to this one if you think the others were astounding. This is even better now in 11.
But when it comes to Iran, Netanyahu's view is that there is no politics in Iran. 85 million Iranians want to get a bomb to drop on Jews the next day. And I think one of the differences between them is that Obama believes there's some really bad actors in Iran, and he believes there's a lot of people that even oppose them internally, and he's trying to construct a deal that will play with that chemistry in a way that will tip it more toward the people favoring engagement in the world.
We knew kids like this in high school. They were known as rats. We had nothing to do with them. We could smell a rat from a mile away, and they were ostracized by my crowd. But okay, the nation has always seen its fools and its traitors, and the Jewish people have them as well. Iran wants the bomb for one reason and one reason only, and it's not to develop a relationship with Israel. Let's put it to you that way.
Meanwhile,
the lunatic in the White House, after reaching out to the terror state of Iran, kicking Israel out into the gutter, has just said, you know what, I want to remove Cuba from the terror list. Now, lifting the U.S. embargo will help the dictators on that island. The Cuban people have lived under the thumb of these two monsters for almost 40 years. And your president said, you know what, let him enjoy it. They can play dominoes, they can drive a 56 Buick, they get all the free sugar cane they want. Rum is cheap. What more do they need? They got government housing. They got government medicine. It's the kind of country I like. My kind of country. These are the kind of guys who know how to take care of business. There's no messy Republican Party in Cuba. No messy press. No talk radio. Nothing. They're the kind of guys that I can relate to. And I'm Barack Obama. And I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Chris Christie came out today and said that Social Security payments should be eliminated for people earning a certain amount of money and reduced for others who earn more than $80,000 a year. And he said, do we really believe that the wealthiest Americans need to take from younger, hardworking Americans to receive what for most of them is a modest monthly Social Security check? He did that today, trying to move to the left of de Blasio. It's hard to believe that instead of coming out to the right of Rubio or to the right of Cruz and saying what the average American knows to be important to say, which is, borders, language, culture, close the borders, let's absorb the immigrants here, let's deport the criminal aliens in prison, let's make English the official language of America so we don't devolve into a polyglot nation that is like the Tower of Babel, let's reaffirm our culture. He didn't say any of that. Instead, he reads from the old communist playbook. Now, I think it was Lady Astor who said you can never be too rich or too thin. I think in Christie's case, the reverse is true, where you can never be too obese and too dense. So he moves to the left of de Blasio now to attract a little attention. Who's gonna rush to support him now? Who, Code Pinko and the other stinkos in the Occupy movement? And this idiot wants to be the Republican candidate. Here's an interesting story. Space station getting Italian espresso maker. Italian astronaut can't wait. I thought it was made up. There's a female astronaut above the International Space Station, in it rather, named Samantha Cristoforetti, don't you know? Never knew she was there. First of all, the idea of an Italian astronaut with no, I'm not trying to, the whole thing seems, I don't know, it doesn't match to me. Putting the words Italian and astronaut in the same sentence unto itself is bizarre in the world I'm living in. But okay, there is an Italian astronaut up there named Samantha Cristoforetti, and she's tired of the space station's instant coffee. So for a year, they've been trying to send her an espresso machine, and it blew up the last one, so she didn't get the espresso machine. So for the third time, SpaceX will attempt to land a new shipment with 4,000 pounds of food, including an espresso machine for this woman on the space station. Okay, it's a strange world we live in, I got to tell you. So before we go back to Christie, since we're talking about a female Italian astronaut with an espresso machine, it reminds me of an absolutely true story about chivalry in the Italian Navy in World War II before the Nazis became their partners, which I'll never forget because as an ex-boater, I sold my boat a year ago. People say, how do you like your boat? I don't have it anymore. I sold it over a year ago. I got tired of being alone on the bay. You know, the old man in the sea and all of that. It was enough already staring at the gulls and the water and the birds. I loved it. But I had too many years of boating, and it was enough for me. But I sold the boat. But as someone who still loves the water, and I live near the water, and I'm always refreshed by the water, I got to tell you something. There's something so bizarre about the story I'm about to tell you, and something so noble. In the beginnings of World War II, the Italians had a submarine fleet. And what was odd about it, the submarines the Italians built were unlike any other submarines then in existence. Check it out. The conning tower, in other words, the bridge, you know, where the periscope goes up, was very large, 4 or 5 times larger than German, British, French, American submarines, because the Italians place so much value on eating, even on a submarine, that they put a dining hall in the conning tower. It's an absolutely true story. They insisted on sitting down to a good meal in their submarines. And then when Hitler joined Italy in World War II, he insisted they cut their conning towers down to size, and they did. But there's more to the story than that. In the beginning of the war, after the Italian seamen would sink an enemy's ship, they would rescue the survivors because they thought it was a terrible thing to let people die at sea and a terrible thing to machine gun them. And in the beginning, they would go, they pick them up and bring them aboard the submarine and give them a meal and take them home, you know, to Italy till the end of the war. Well, again, that was changed when the fascist Nazi socialist from hell, Hitler, came along. He told them they couldn't do that anymore. They had to start shooting the survivors of submarine attacks. Now, that's not a direct relationship to Christie, but I'm just showing you what goes on in the world.
Savage.